is Small Town News. I'm Keith.
I'm Neil.
I'm George.
And I'm Craig.
And what we do each session is reread small town newspaper articles from small town newspapers somewhere across the United States. We are reading these articles for the first time. They are provided to us by the wonderfully talented but the woefully underpaid Dr. Saxon.
Illustrious and preposterous.
From those articles, we might take a character, a situation, maybe just a singular word, and we're going to improvise stories around it. We're just trying to make big news stories out of small town. I started reading before I was finished talking. We're trying to take small stories into big improv news like the title. Sorry, I'm going to blame this entire thing right now on Mrs. Winslow's soothing syrup.
Yes. You mean cocaine or heroin in a bottle for children would be my guess.
We're looking at an ad right now, and this is for Mrs. Winslow's soothing syrup. And then on the sides it says, the mother's friend for children teething. So you are absolutely right. This is crack cocaine.
He's correct. You know that because in the picture, there's a mother giving a spoonful of it to the infant.
She has a syringe in the baby's arm.
The other children clearly want some.
Yes. Yeah. One of them is reaching to take it out of the baby's mouth.
Like drug-addled fiends.
Yes. Like, why can't we have some too, Mom? I hate the new baby.
I always feel better about the new baby when I have some of that syrup.
Exactly.
We are in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. St. Johnsbury, locally known as St. Jay, is the shire town of Caledonia County in Vermont. A shire town is basically a county seat, although shire town sounds cuter, fancier, Britishier, and more hobbity than county seat.
Well, we know what a shire is.
No, I thought a shire was where hobbits lived, and it stopped there.
It is. They live in the dirt.
So Hobbiton is the county seat?
Apparently, yeah.
I mean, we don't know the average height of these citizens, so.
That's true. We don't live.
But we may.
They might live in the dirt.
But we may. Vermont is the only state in the country to call its county seats shire towns. Home to 7,700 residents, St. Jay is about 45 miles south of the U.S.-Canada border. Boston is 170 miles to the south, and Augusta, Maine is 140 miles to the east. In 2006, the town was named Best Small Town by National Geographic.
Is that where J.R.R. Tolkien's from? Is he from there?
Nope.
No.
How do you know?
Because he's British.
Oh.
He's much more Britishy.
He's much more British.
Small town, though. That's exciting. We're Small Town News, and we've been given the Best Small Town 2006.
Well, 2006, yeah.
That's I hope we can rise to the occasion.
Yeah, that is a big deal. St. Johnsbury and Caledonia County are part of Vermont's Northeast Kingdom. The Northeast Kingdom, also simply called the Kingdom, is bordered on the east by the Connecticut River and on the west by the Green Mountains. It is comprised of Caledonia, Essex, and Orleans counties.
Why is it not bordered by other kingdoms?
It's bordered by the hobbits. Maybe this is Mordor. I mean, there's got to be a king. They got to return to it eventually in the third book. In the 19th century, the kingdom was a booming area for creators of patent medicines. Patent medicine, of course, isn't really medicine. It was usually a cure-all mixture of alcohol, cocaine, and opium. They were given
Triple
to babies.
Threat.
Oh, my God. This is real. They were given to babies to, quote, keep them calm, close quote, and were recommended for all ages and all ailments. I guess any ailment that makes a baby cry, give them this.
Just be quiet.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Chilled them out for sure. They grew up being the most chill, low-stress generation of all time, right?
Yes, but it's alcohol, cocaine, and opium. Aren't all of those habit-forming?
I mean, it is the 19th century. Think about everything that was going on. I mean, you got to lighten up somehow.
It really is amazing.
It is.
What medicine you get based on where you are in human history, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And what happened in the last 200 years of how much that changed, Before that, we were just bleeding people to death, right?
Yeah.
And that's not working. Let's give them
cocaine.
Cocaine, yeah.
We've let them, but they're still crying. Give them cocaine, alcohol, and opium.
Add some alcohol.
Yeah. I guess the alcohol makes it a syrup.
They're pale from getting their blood taken out, so let's put some color back in them cheese. Give them some alcohol.
There you go. Baby's still crying. These mixtures were available over the counter and without prescriptions. Sellers of patent medicines were among the first in America to heavily use advertisements to sell their products. The ads, along with the highly addictive contents of the bottles, made patent medicines incredibly popular substances.
You think?
In the 20th century, the only thing odd about that ad earlier was that the dad wasn't there trying to take it out of the baby's mouth.
Because he's passed out.
Just off frame. Yeah.
Now, all of us dads in here have sat in a room with a crying baby.
Yes.
And I think all of us would be tempted to pass along a little patent.
We certainly would have in the 19th century when the doctor was saying, This is okay. I mean,
it's Mrs. Winslow's soothing syrup. There can't be anything wrong with that.
So, George, you went through the change in over-the-counter medications available to kids, just like I did. So we could give Stefan stuff that was a little stronger. When Sophie came along, they had taken a lot of those medicines off
the counter. Like what kind of stuff was it?
They had like a pseudoephedrine and those things in kids' medicines and a few other things that then they took out because they had some overdoses because people are stupid.
I was always just a big fan of Dimetapp. Because that's what we had when I was a kid.
So it doesn't have like all those good active ingredients.
It still tastes like grape.
Probably.
Yeah, that's why.
But it does not, like, it doesn't do as well. So I remember
grape flavored
struggling. Like, you'd have to go to the doctor to get stuff that was worthwhile for Sophie. Gotcha. It's very irritating.
Give me that grape cocaine.
Did y'all have Dimetapp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did. We were a Cremulsion household. And my mother also, quite honestly, went straight for the Crown and Coke.
For you?
For babies?
Yeah.
Whoa, nice. Soothing syrup.
She took the time to give you a mix. All right.
Yeah, when we were...
When you say Coke, you mean cocaine?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got it. My
parents were like, we don't need...
We couldn't get the opium locally, so it was just cocaine and alcohol.
See, my parents were just like, he doesn't need all that sugar. Just give him the Crown.
But yeah, if we were up late with a hacky cough sort of thing, we'd get a little Crown and Coke.
Did it do it?
Oh, God, yeah. I remember... Yeah.
I mean... If did it, you mean like make a baby pass out, then yes.
Yes. Mama got a little rest. In the 20th century, the federal government started to regulate the pharmaceutical industry. After decades of fraud, accidental poisonings and overdoses, and cases of false advertising by patent medicine makers. However, as patent medicines declined in the Northeast Kingdom in the 20th century, pharmacies in the area started to boom. The fraudulent medical companies slowly gave way to legitimate drug companies. Given the area's history of high addictive patent medicines, it is perhaps not surprising that St. Johnsbury is the home of Dr. Robert Smith, the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh.
So there were lots of problems going on in that town.
Yeah.
And then they found ways to cope with them.
And become the best small town of America. In 2006, by the time they got to that, no more patent medicines there.
Yeah. That's what makes it the small town or the best small town.
Or,
yeah.
or they've re-embraced it, and that's why they're the best small town.
They have the quietest babies. You can go to lunch anytime. Now the baby crying. They're all sleeping. Mamas are all smiling.
It's just there's a bottle of it on the counter as you walk in at the hostess station.
Drop your babies off like a coat check.
What if they did them like the little communion wafer and the grape juice that come in the little cups together? You just pull it back and that's your patent medicine for your kid.
Thank you, Mrs. Winslow.
Mrs. Winslow.
Soothing syrup.
Your baby is crying. I was gonna say, you want to be
somehow
dying.
Somehow you made it worse.
What you gonna do?
Soothing syrup.
Just Mrs. Winslow, soothing syrup for you.
Soothing syrup.
In every batch of Mrs. Winslow's, we take a bucket, pour in equal parts alcohol, opium, and cocaine, stir it with a canoe oar, and then deliver it right to your baby's face.
Soothing syrup.
Mrs. Winslow's. Now available in that shack over there on that empty lot.
Now available at Walgreens.
You know the one that looks like it should be condemned probably is.
Littered with sleeping babies and
just follow the trail of sleeping babies.
Come to Mrs. Winslow's baby shack.
Miss Winslow's daycare.
That's probably how Miss Winslow started. She was the best nanny in town.
Yeah, no baby crying at Miss Winslow's house.
Yeah, what's your secret? Well,
let me tell you what I do.
Let me tell you about opium.
Mrs. Winslow's.
Soothing syrup.
In addition to patent medicines, another key founding industry of St. J. was scales manufacturing. Thaddeus and Erastus Fairbanks, two brothers with real names, became town businesses and political leaders because of their successful scales company. Studious, invented the platform scale in the 1830s in St. John's, Barry, and then he and his brother, Erastus, went into the business of producing the scales. The invention of the platform scale was born of the problem of too much hemp in Thaddeus's stores. Well, he had a lot of hemp, but no way of doing large-scale measurements. So if there's one thing we've learned about St. J is if you prefer opium and then the occasional little bit of weed to bring you down.
Opium's for babies.
No, weed's for
grown-ups.
Hemp was outlawed.
Babies don't know how to smoke. That's the problem.
Yeah, but you can't give a cigarette to a baby.
Get that hemp away from that baby. Here. Push that opium closer. It's good for him. Put it in a brownie. It's modern medicine.
The farmers delivering the hemp were paid by the ton. But no one at the time could accurately and easily measure a ton. That's like being paid $15 an hour, but nobody knows how long an hour is. I was here all day. Yeah, well, the sundial only moved this much. Here's $6.
It's cloudy.
It's cloudy. Thaddeus's scale had a pit under a platform so that the loads of hemp could be driven directly onto the scale. The scale became known as the Fairbanks scale, and Thaddeus patented the invention. He exhibited his scale at 10 international expositions, and his invention won the highest honors in the technology category at the 1873 Vienna World's
Fair.
Wait a minute.
It took until 1873 to come up with that idea? Wow. That's surprising.
Somebody had to haul around a ton of materials, perhaps?
Until then, they didn't know what a ton was.
Yeah.
It was a lot. That's why when you say, like, I ate a ton, you didn't really eat a ton. You ate, like, a Thaddeus ton. It was just a lot.
Pre-Thaddeus ton. Yeah. An Erastus ton.
Everybody was hopped up on cocaine and opium. They didn't care how much. It's like, it's about right.
I said they could pick it up either way.
Yeah. But it's interesting that around the same time that they're dealing and selling all these drugs, that somebody's like, you know what? We should really nail down weight. Because I don't know if you've noticed the litter of babies lying around, but...
I mean, how many babies are there's a ton. Is there though? Is there a ton of babies?
Thaddeus,
come solve the damn problem.
Thaddeus, one ton of opium for a baby is too much. We need a measurement that is less than a ton.
Maybe they were measuring things by babies. Like, we gotta stop this, okay? We need a proper scale of measurement. Scale, yes. Lately, we've just been called the babies.
The babies keep crawling off the scale. How do we get them to stay? I got an idea.
How many babies of stuff did you bring me?
I need 10 babies of hemp.
Babies of hemp.
Yes.
I just need an eighth baby of that cocaine.
Try to cut down.
Eighth the baby. Give me a dime baby.
Thaddeus
also was personally, yeah, we're talking about Thaddeus here now, let's not forget. Thaddeus also was personally granted several foreign titles. He was knighted and received the Imperial Order of Franz Joseph Award from the Emperor of Austria. The King of Siam gave him a golden medal and a Puspampola Award. And Thaddeus was given medals and honors by the Bey of Tunis.
What are these? Are these real?
Apparently so. When your name is Thaddeus, people crawl out of the woodwork. They're like, he's our people.
But that was like, an award. So international acclaim for a scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
People could stop relying on babies. The guy's a hero.
Heavy as the crown. How heavy, we don't know.
Back then, people were having babies so they'd have something to measure.
By 1885, the St. J. factory employed 1,000 workers and turned out 70,000 platform scales each year.
Dang.
Yeah.
The Fairbanks brothers also opened platform scale factories in Asia, Africa, and Europe. Their company is still in operation in St. J.
I bet they don't sell as many, though. Because once you sell somebody a big scale, they don't need to buy another one, right?
Not for a while, you wouldn't think.
One of the town's other major industries is the production of candle pins. Candle pins is a variation of bowling that is played in New England and in eastern Canadian provinces. Unlike 10-pin bowling, the kind y'all have mostly down here, each player in candle pins bowls 3 times per frame rather than just twice. The candle pin ball has a 4.5-inch diameter from all those. I thought I was going to say 4.5 holes. I was about to say, how does that work?
Well, your thumb is kind of a half finger.
Just knuckle it.
The candle pin ball has 4.5-inch diameter, much smaller than a bowling ball, and it does not have finger holes. The candle pins are thinner than other bowling pins, and they get their name from their tapered candlestick shape. The thinness of these pins makes them much more difficult to knock down. Also, in candle pins, the fallen pins, called deadwood, are not cleared between rolls in a frame. While frames are automatically reset in 10-pin bowling, the candle pin pin setter is triggered manually with a reset button after each frame. The rules and scoring of candlesticks are way too complicated to discuss here, so instead, let's explore some of the game's jargon. And to keep it fun, I'll just give you the terms and not the definitions. So she's not going to explain this.
Oh.
Neil.
We can guess.
He's like, I bet we'll find out.
Neil picks up phone.
No, but Google. You know what? She's kind enough to let us know. She leads us straight down the path.
You're never going to win this fight. You're never going
to
win this fight.
I don't have to.
I'm just saying, if we were measuring your victory in babies right now, it would be zero. Not nary a diaper.
We wouldn't even need a scale to know it's zero.
Exactly.
Because there's no game.
Nary a diaper.
Anybody ever played candlesticks?
No.
Whatever this bowling is?
I've never heard.
No, but it's a tiny ball. It's 4.5 inch diameter. So you roll it or you throw it?
You roll it.
You
like a
bocce
ball. It's like an overhand throw.
He skipped the sentence that had that part in. Yeah.
I did?
Yeah. Candlepin bowlers cup the balls in their hands rather than threading their fingers into the holes. So it's like duck pin bowling. Have you ever done that? Where it's like an underhand toss sort of thing.
When you roll it, it'd be better if you threw it. Why don't you just throw it at things?
I mean, bowling would be a bit more efficient as well.
I've tried that, but you have to get a really small bowl.
Yeah.
Ball to
bowl ball.
Because you try to shot put the 14-pound ball down the lane. And
they could not have.
You turn some heads when you do that.
Yeah, also, it makes a lot of noise.
I was gonna say, it also makes a hell of a racket.
They could not have appreciated that, George.
But so now fun, I can just say, used to candlesticks. Candle pins. What's it called?
A candle pin.
Then you start throwing around the jargon that Keith is about to tell us.
Yeah, okay. What's the jargon, Keith, that I'll use to get out of a fine?
Okay, well, George, next time you're in a bowling alley and they come up with you and they're all mad because you're overhandedly throwing the bowling balls towards the pins, you just tell them, I was just trying to do a Woolworth split.
There's a fun word in there. We'll see how Keith says that one.
Okay. So I was trying to do a Woolworth split.
Or a quarter, half, or full. So you can either have a quarter, a half, or a full Worcestershire. Worcester.
So put a little sauce on it.
Put some sauce on it.
Depends on who you're talking to.
Worcester.
Worcester. Worcestershire.
Candle pin.
Worcesters are much more dangerous than the normal Chesters.
Yes. You don't want to shake them.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go. Or a spread eagle.
I was trying to do a spread eagle.
Yeah.
I think you were trying to do the four horsemen.
That's the problem, this sir.
No spread eagles here in
the
Carteret Lanes.
Or there's a four horsemen, which I'm assuming is a Hail Mary, just knocks everything down.
Well, what are the four horsemen? Famine, war, fire,
feast.
No, feast.
You must eat yourself to death.
Gluttony. There's a big fat guy on a fat horse.
Pestilence.
Pestilence. Yeah, that's the fourth one.
Have fun in St. Jay as you wander through the town. Ponder its motto, Very Vermont.
Nice.
Oh.
Thanks, Todd and Jess.
Fairbanks displaying Victorian-era bug art. No author listed.
Is anybody else already bored?
No. What do you think they did with the bugs? Did they turn them into like a sculpture?
You know what?
Or did they?
Nope.
Or did they? Or they?
So the question is it art of bugs or art from bugs?
I would think the bugs should be the medium. Like some people use watercolors, some people
squish
use clay.
Squish a bunch of bugs.
No. There's this red that is like
blood.
Like it's like a 20,000 whatever bugs have to die to make like this very small
specific
amount of this
red dye.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I was thinking just the bug bodies is like the medium to make a sculpture.
Which it's also the argument that some people have made that red M&Ms are not vegan
because they have that bug.
They use
bug blood.
It's not blood. It's like their bodies turn that color when you mash it up.
What? Is that what they mean by natural colors and flavors?
Yeah.
So only red M&Ms. The red dye in red M&Ms is squished up bugs?
The red dye, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be chemicals, but then people got mad about that. So then they used bugs, and now they got mad about that.
I mean, just for the record, I'm not mad, appalled, or anything like that. I'm fascinated.
What kind of bug is it, though?
The mainstream media doesn't want you to know what kind of bug it is, because then you'll care about it, and then we'll all lose red.
Right, because we think, it's probably not a butterfly. It's probably like an ant.
Oh, it's small. Yeah. It's something that nobody cares about.
Except the parents of that bug.
Yeah. Well, that's what they all do. That's how they're fulfilling. See, Neil's going to look it up, and I'm going to be wrong about some of this.
we will, but what we know is there's a specific red that comes from bugs. One of those widely used red food colorings, carmine, is made from crushed up bugs.
There you go.
The insect is used to make carmine. The insects used to make carmine are called cochineal.
That's right.
Cochineal. Yep.
And are native to Latin America, where they live on cacti.
That's hard to harvest bugs off of cacti. If you especially got to get a bunch of them.
You got to go through them pens.
Yeah, and then imagine loading them up onto the truck and climbing onto the scale. You got that problem, too.
How many we got here?
How many bugs per baby?
That's a lot of bugs for one baby.
Huh. Yeah, I guess that's not a job anybody wants, is harvesting bugs off of cacti.
I bet there's money in it.
Somebody does. Somebody does it,
for sure. Yeah.
Somebody, like, growing up was dreaming of doing that. Like, you'd see the garbage man hanging on the back of the truck, and I always thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah. You just get to ride down the street.
Yeah. Until, like, you smell it at the end of the day, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Maybe it's not and a back job. Then, they had to lift the cart, the cans up and all that. Now it's just machines.
Yeah, like that, and I wanted to be a UPS driver.
You still could.
Why?
You're right.
I just can't believe that much work is going into a red M&M.
Yeah.
For something that if you were to close your eyes and take a random M&M, you wouldn't know the difference between a red M&M and a yellow M&M.
I should clarify. There are other things in the world other than M&Ms that are also red. just to
be
real
clear. But not
made
of bug blood, bug bodies.
I am assuming this bug blood is only for red M&Ms. I'm fascinated. I love this. Because there probably is a lot of people that would feel that way.
Yeah.
And they don't realize it.
But you're right. They're not vegan. If they're made of bug blood,
but people
bodies.
Would be disgusted. There's a lot of people that would just be disgusted at the notion that they are ingesting, which if you're wise enough in the world, you realize that most food has some portion of bugs.
You know what I was thinking? A collage made of moths and beetles that has been in storage for several decades is now on view at the Fairbanks Museum.
It's almost like you're reading something.
No, let them go. This is guaranteed to be far more interesting than what we were talking about.
I do still have one more question that's unanswered, before you dive into it. And it's a terrible place to go, but now I can't help but wonder, if you crushed up humans in the same way that you crush up this bug,
what color M&M would we be?
What color of M&M would we be?
Green.
You think?
Soylent green?
Yes.
But probably not the happy green, like a muddy green.
I would think brown, too. Brown. Why is it brown?
Here's why it's brown. It's brown because of the iron in the blood. That's why
it's
brown.
Is that what it is? Wait, so we'd make brown M&Ms if you crush us up.
I really do. Blood is red.
Yeah, but
you get a lot of
blood. Not when it
blood.
Dries.
If you get a bunch of, exactly. So you would end up
and it's
brown.
Only red when it's oxygenated.
So the question is, would it be fresh bodies or dried bodies? So the difference between red and brown.
So you go up to your scale, right? Your Fairbanks scale, and you throw all your dead bodies on it, let them dry out for
I'm just glad you
month.
Didn't say babies.
Sorry, I misspoke. You think brown? I mean,
I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't thought about it. I mean, what? Like a glue looking
when did
brown?
They eat last?
It's what they ate last. So
no, when did they eat last?
We'll say they had red M&Ms at 6 o'clock.
P.M. or A.M.?
It was definitely P.M.
Say, what do they smell like if they had asparagus?
So you think the human M&M is only colored by whatever they ate last?
I'm gonna say, once you crush an entire human being, whatever small amount of food they just ate is the least bearing.
No, I've got another question.
Well, it depends on if they had what George had for breakfast. Because George is definitely going to be a brown M&M.
I feel like, lots of brown right now. So here's the other question, though. What will we, if we're talking about the color of the candy shell, what type of inside would pair well with that candy shell? Would it be a traditional M&M? A dark, a peanut, some weird peanut butter thing they came up with, or a mint or something.
Oh, wait, so you want to figure out which what kind of M&M you're coloring.
I think so.
I mean, I want to color a peanut butter M&M.
You want a peanut butter?
I want to color a peanut butter. Okay. That's how I want
to
go.
Neil, what kind of M&M would you like your body to color? After we grind
Neil's
you up.
Dying inside.
Which one on a Fairbanks scale? What kind of M&M?
I'm a vegan, so I wouldn't want to be a...
But so you wouldn't want a red one. Yeah.
So the truth of the matter is I would be very dead. So I wouldn't care.
No, but well, as your friends, we'd be eating your M&Ms. So what would you like?
Of course you would. Yellow.
Yellow, okay. Wait, but the
just
inside,
a regular M&M?
Yeah, yellow. Just yellow.
Just yellow
whatever
inside?
It is. Like is a yellow custard M&M.
Oh.
Oh.
Nobody's going to eat that.
Oh, they will not.
The custard melts in your mouth, that is, not in your hands.
That is one route that Eminem has not gone, is the gooey center, right?
Of yellow custard.
And hopefully never will.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of the most disgusting thing to be an Eminem, and yellow custard was all I could come up with.
You get a gray candy shell of Neil, maybe brown, depending on what he ate.
With yellow custard.
With yellow custard. Oh, I'm not. Even as your friends, we're not going to eat that.
Good. That was kind of what I was shooting for.
Guys, we need to get back on track.
Neil, if you'd quit pulling us off the article.
What's the difference between a dump truck full of bowling balls and a dump truck full of babies?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
The color of M&M they turn into?
Mm. You can't unload a dump truck full of bowling balls with a pitchfork.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Fairbanks displaying Victorian-era bug art.
I figured that would do clean it. The slate.
Fairbanks displaying Victorian-era bug art. No author listed. Who would?
As far as we got.
You want to start it back over again? Or anybody got any other random meandering conversation?
They're hearing the sausage getting made right now.
Oh, yeah. A collage made of moths and beetles that has been in storage for several decades is now on view at the Fairbanks Museum. General Slocum, made by John Hampson in the 19th century, was restored at the Williamstown Art Conservation Center in Massachusetts and returned to Fairbanks Museum this summer. With fresh moths made of fabric and paper replacing damaged original insects, this mosaic joins others in John Hampson's collection on display in the museum's balcony. Hampson's work celebrates General Henry Warner Slocum Sr. of New York, who fought for the Union during the Civil War. The mosaic shows a statue of General Slocum seated on a horse, positioned on a pedestal inscribed, "General Slocum, the Great Northern Hero." Below this identification, Hampson adds the cry, "Stay and fight it out," attributed to Slocum during the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863, which I believe we have a creek named after him.
Slocum Creek.
Slocum Creek, yep.
John Hampson created 10 known bug art pieces after moving to the United States from England in 1860. Each collage is made up of thousands of butterflies, beetles, and moths meticulously arranged to depict scenes celebrating American history or culture. His collages took several years to complete. The Fairbanks Museum houses the only known examples of his work. Through dedicated conservation efforts, the museum is focused on restoring important pieces in its collection to be able to put them back into public view. Bo Harrison, collections manager at the Fairbanks Museum, said, "These pieces of insect folk art are significant to the Fairbanks Museum for several reasons. They include several pieces of insects that can help with an understanding of natural history. More importantly, this form of art helps to illustrate the Victorian-era interest in collecting and natural history."
So it is using bugs as a medium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It is our mission to bring these reflections of natural history and our interaction with the natural world to the public, said Adam Kane, executive director. "Stewarding the objects in our care so they can be interpreted in new ways and appreciated by new audiences is central to our role as caretaker of collections. In the Victorian era, when the Fairbanks Museum was founded, people used collections of rocks, eggs, shells, and in Hampson's case, insects, for artistic expression. Although Hampson's mosaics were not in the Fairbanks' original collection, they are in keeping with the Victorian nature of the Fairbanks Museum, and they are popular with visitors, often mentioned in its guides and reviews for their unusual materials and content." End of story.
Good thing we read that article, because this is just going back to the whole discussion we had before the article. We cut to the M&M's factory. Head of production at M&M's is having a meeting with Thaddeus Showalter, a very rich and well-known philanthropist. Any more information that anybody needs?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Richard, correct? Head of production at M&M's?
Yes, that's what we do here. We produce M&M's. I'm in charge.
I want to thank you for taking the time to meet with me, Thaddeus Showalter.
So nice to meet you, Mr.
Very wealthy entrepreneur.
You are known for your philanthropy, and I am a big fan.
I've done very well for myself in philanthropy.
I read about you in National Geographic.
National Philanthropy. That's what it was.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
That makes more sense.
That's okay.
So what can I do? Are you here to tour the facility? See how
well,
we produce?
I, you know, that might be a really good idea, but at first I think I should tell you what it is I'm looking for.
Oh, okay. Certainly.
Well, you see, as you know, I've created a large industry of philanthropy based on the premise of waste not, want not.
I did read about that in your article.
I hate waste. I don't like it.
Yes, you don't want waste.
Now, as I'm sure you can see, I'm getting up there in years.
Well, yes, you have a very hearty voice for one of so aged.
I will take that as the compliment that it is.
Yes, sir.
But nonetheless, as one advances in years, one thinks of what's going to happen to their physical self once they have left this realm.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you. The idea of a casket made of wood, you know, being put into the ground seems wasteful. Waste not, whatnot. That's what
I understand. Yes, sir.
Built my
yes,
life
sir.
On here. And then one day I was eating a package of one of your delicious M&Ms.
Oh, original?
Peanut I butter? I prefer custard, mint? Personally.
Oh, custard.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very specific set of
It's very
tastes.
Specific, but I yes. enjoy it.
Okay.
But it got me thinking. I said, you know, this candy shell melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
That's yes, sir.
You know, it seems you know, but eventually, I bet that would succumb the pressure underground and biodegrade in a very fitting manner. So, what I'm hoping for here today is I would like to commission a casket for my body.
Yes,
when I pass, made of your candy shell.
I am so glad you said that. I thought this was going in a different direction. You're saying we would take our patented
candy shell
formula.
Yes,
and make essentially a large shell for your mortal remains.
Yes.
This is a challenge we have not faced before at M&M. And we've done a lot of things. We've
That's
made a lot
why
of colors.
I'm coming to you
made
now
a lot of flavors.
Before I die.
We made custard. We've done that. There's a lot of things we've done.
I figured if you could figure out a way to make that happen, you could figure out a way to keep, you know, my mortal remains inside.
I have questions. What size will your mortal remains be after you die? Are you planning to be cremated?
Oh, I don't want to waste those flames cremating myself. That's a waste of fire. Waste not, whatnot. That's the Thaddeus Showalter way.
So are you thinking a candy shell that is basically your size and shape?
Well, what I was hoping was they would transfuse the blood out of my body, and you could use my blood to color the red candy shell, because red's my favorite.
Oh, I got to be honest with you. You have a lot of specific needs.
I have a lot of money too. Don't forget.
You didn't give it all away, did you?
Oh no.
All right, we cut to research and development. All right, Larry, I know you're getting ready to go on another expedition for the Caledonia bugs.
Yes.
We got a problem though.
Oh, what's going on?
Well, we got a very specific investor who wants a red M&M, but he wants to locally source where it comes from. So I'm going to need you to go out and get this blood. Well, so here's the thing.
You said blood.
You know
I faint at the sight of blood.
I know you do, which is ironic because every time you bring those Caledonia bugs back, you always crush a couple and end up passing out before you get back to us.
I do, but you know, I mean, I'm learning how to work through that, but like human blood, I mean, that's a lot.
It is, and I'm glad you said a lot because it's going to take an entire human body's worth of blood for this specific project.
Whoa.
But I believe in you.
Cut to Larry coming to Mr. Showalter's house to discuss harvesting what the materials needed for this candy shell.
Mr. Showalter.
I want to thank you, Larry, for coming by. I realized, you know, after my meeting, you know, there might not be enough blood after I pass away to color such a large M&M. So it's probably good to start taking some in advance and collecting it, so to say. Because I can always produce more now, can't produce more later. Waste not, want not. That's the Showalter way.
I have a specific way that I'm used to collecting color. It's really the only way I know. I don't know anything about drawing blood. And frankly,
what?
I don't.
Okay, because you got to get it right on the first time. Waste not, want not. That's the Showalter way.
Right. So I have a way that I typically do it.
Okay.
I take whatever the medium is and I grind it up.
Oh.
So I collect these cochineals and I grind them up and they turn into this red powder. So I was thinking maybe we could try the same with you. If you just want a small part to start, I mean, we could like just take a hand and maybe put that in a mortar and pestle or maybe even a blender.
Well, now, can you guarantee that the color's going to be red?
No, well, see,
because I look at the skin,
Mr. Showalter. I'm so sorry. Here's your custard you ordered that you were going to have for lunch today.
That's good. That's convenient because when I'm eventually inside of that M&M,
here you are, your yellow custard.
I want to be full of custard. That's correct.
Yep. So hand, left, right.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, I am very eccentric. So what if we just?
I know from your philanthropist.
Hey, don't knock it. I've made a good living with philanthropy. I'll tell you what. I will give you a pinky.
Okay.
As a proof of concept, because I want to make sure that this M&M is red. And like I said, I look at my pinky right now. I'm seeing a lot of pink hues.
Yep. So here's the other bit. I faint immediately at the sight of blood. So I'm going to need you to cut that off for me and put it in this bag.
Cut back to the lab the next day. Larry.
Yeah.
You ground up that man's pinky and it's yellow.
Look, I did the same thing I do with the bugs.
What did he have for lunch?
Custard, maybe?
You know this is going to be, whatever you grind up is going to be the color of whatever he ate. You allowed him to eat custard?
Hi, boss. I'm sorry. Hi.
Yes. What are you doing, Michael?
I'm sorry. What? No. So, as you know, I'm brought on by Mr. Showalter's Waste Not, Want Not charity.
Yes,
I'm
here yes, as part right,
of,
right.
As being able to be part of his project.
For us, it's mostly Want Not for Michael.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to learn, but I'm here to fulfill my Waste Not, Want Not. So I will take the yellow custard blended finger of Mr. Showalter.
Yep,
I shall not let it
perfect,
waste.
Perfect.
I want it.
Perfect. There you are. You can have it because I don't.
It's.
Didn't you want to put it around chocolate?
It's melting in my mouth.
It will do that. That's part of the process, right? Okay, so we got that part down.
His key, remember.
What if we put him on the cactus?
Larry, he wanted red.
What if we put him on the cactus, like the cochineal?
Put Mr. Showalter on the cactus?
Yeah, I mean, they eat that and they're red when you grind them up.
I knew there was a reason we promoted you to this position, Larry. That's very good.
Cut back to Mr. Showalter's house. So, the first one didn't work out. And that person that you sent,
did he lick the bowl? I just want to make sure that. Okay. I just want to make sure that there was nothing left.
Really creepy.
Waste not, want not. Showalter.
Really
way.
Creepy. The color was off. It was like a yellowy.
I'm very
sort of
upset.
So I have an idea. So I think we're going to have to stick you onto one of the cacti that these bugs eat from to turn red. So the
cacti is what turns them red?
We think so. Experimentation. Look, we're breaking new ground here.
We really are. I could have sworn that blood was just naturally red, but now you're saying that you got to work with stuff other than the red.
I'm not used to that process. I mean, your blood will be in it, but we got to have the whole thing.
Okay,
I mean,
let me
take the body, we grind it up, and it turns into the color.
I like to think that I'm a reasonable man.
I've noticed that with your philanthropy.
Yes. So, as I have said many a time, waste not, want not. So, in order to make the giant M&M coffin, which I've requested for my mortal being, and in order to color it the color of red, which I want, we have to grind my entire body to color the casket, which is being made for my body, which will no longer exist.
Exactly.
You know what? I've spent a lifetime wasting not and wanting not, even though it is a complete and utter against that phrase. I'm just saying, what the hell? Let's go with this.
Perfect.
Let's ride this ride, baby.
Cut to the cactus field.
Sorry, I thought we were done. Okay.
Okay. I'm good with being done.
Okay. All right.
I want to see Showalter on the cactus.
Showalter just completely compromised his principles. What's funny is how long it took me to realize, wait a second.
Like, that was the game, I thought. It's like, in order to get what you want, we had to grind you up into, like,
so you
grind up
get
your body
you
completely.
Yeah. Hey, there was nothing to put it in the candy shell.
Exactly.
We cut to 5 months later when Showalter has been turned into an M&M and Michael has to eat it.
Has to?
Waste not, want not.
He's been waiting for this.
Why are you going to make me eat my dad? He became my dad from all of his philandering.
Casella in Coventry hosts open house. No author listed. More than 400 visitors attended an open house recently at the Casella Waste Systems Landfill in Coventry. The annual event is an opportunity for community members to tour the facility and to learn about the company's approach to waste and resource management. We love opening our doors to the community and welcoming them in to learn about our company, our operations, and the realities of modern waste management, said the landfill's general manager, Jeremy Lab. Most people attend out of curiosity or to enjoy some family-friendly fun and food and leave with a new perspective about their own consumption and the modern technology in place that safely manages their waste. I am so grateful to all of our staff that volunteer their time on a Saturday to help with this event.
Cut to the post-tour buffet that's laid out. I hope you guys enjoyed the tour.
It was very informative.
You're welcome to hang out for a little bit. We got the buffet table here. Plates are there.
Okay.
There's silverware.
Oh, look,
it's kind
they have
of
a
mix.
Chocolate fountain.
Oh,
I
look
love
at that.
Those.
That's really
you can
nice.
Take whatever you want, dip yeah. it in
dip
there.
It in.
It's covered in chocolate.
That's nice. Everybody
that's
loves
great.
Chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the drinks are right over there. If you've got any questions about the food, just let me know. I mean, I can tell you sort of where it came from. And
well, I don't want to seem ungrateful, but I don't know. Just I can't help but notice that the palate here is pretty much brown.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I got to be honest, like, viscerally after what we just went through, it just, I don't know. It's not the most appetizing thing. Like I said,
well,
let me tell you
a little bit about, like the chocolate fountain.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that came from A6. So, we dug down and we found a trash bag from the Smiths.
Smiths?
Yep. On Johnson Street.
Oh, you mean you mean Larry and Teresa?
Oh yeah, I didn't know you knew them. That's
yeah,
great.
I live around the street.
Oh,
but what do you mean you found them from
so,
the Smiths?
Well,
what does that mean?
So we dug down. We found this bag, and there was some steak in it. There was a little chocolate, which was kind of fortuitous. That's why we could do this. It looks like it was maybe right around Easter because there were a couple of parts of leftover chocolate bunnies, and so we took all that, we mixed it up, and that's the chocolate in the fountain.
That you're serving to us?
Oh yeah,
came from the garbage.
Oh, yeah. Waste not, want not.
Now, I understand this landfill was recently acquired by the Showalter Foundation. So I understand where Waste Not, Want Not came from, but I don't appreciate knowing where the chocolate came from, if that was from Larry and Teresa's dump.
I won't tell
trash.
You more about the food. Just dig in.
I mean, I'll hear more about the food. I'm not going to eat it, but I'm curious. Like,
oh,
all
I'm
of
offended.
This came from garbage?
I'm offended.
Well, here's
you're
we
offended.
Worked hard to make this spread. And
Bring members
of the community in.
We cut to the kitchen. Pete, people are not happy with the food that's out there?
No.
Okay, listen to me and listen really good, okay? We need to stay on top of this or we're going to lose our entire customer base.
Okay.
You have got to get over to Larry and Teresa's house and tell them they got to up their game.
Okay, I can do that.
All right.
I can do that.
We cut to the front door of Larry and Teresa's house. Yes.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi. We've not met.
We were just sitting down for dinner. Can this wait?
Yeah.
No, this is perfect, actually.
Okay.
So I work for the folks to pick up your garbage.
You're a garbage man?
Sort of. Yeah.
Thank you.
Dinner looks good.
Appreciate
so,
it. I'm sorry.
Sloppy Joe's. It's one
so
of my
yep,
favorites.
Have you got a bag?
Well, no, our trash day is not until Wednesday.
Right.
Oh, again. I know, but we got
to. Again, we're about to eat dinner. Can you just come
we
back?
We need it more fresh. That's the
what?
Problem. Oh, wait. I should tell you this story.
Huh?
So when your trash arrives, we use what you guys have cooked, and we use that for our buffet for the people that tour the waste facility.
Like recycling?
But the problem is, nobody's liking what you're cooking, Teresa.
Oh, well, now,
that's
Larry, you need to defend me. I've been cooking for this man here for 27 years.
You know, honestly,
he's never complained.
I have
Larry,
to say, there are a lot of leftovers. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you. Mom, Dad, I don't know who this person is, but I feel like I've got an ally on my side here. Every night, somebody needs to say
on.
It. Why are we eating half Easter bunnies? Why are we eating the outsides of Cadbury eggs? Where's the inside?
This seems to go a little deeper than what I thought was going on. We just need to up your game a little bit. Like, do you need a cookbook? And we'd love to have it fresh.
Then you know what?
No.
You be quiet.
No, I'm taking this
Larry?
Guy out to the yard, and I'm going to defend you.
I'm cutting out the middleman.
What?
I'm no longer serving you two ungrateful people.
What?
Sir, what was your name?
David.
I'm going to give you a direct pipeline from my kitchen to your landfill. I'm going to send you directly. You two are going to have to fend for yourselves.
Cut back to the Waste Management Center. Okay, boss, it's just coming straight. So here's the first platter. You want to try some?
I missed a show, Walter. You know, I'm very much...
He's an eccentric.
I'm very eccentric, but I want to taste test everything that comes
here
through.
Here you go.
Oh, wait, let me switch hands. I recently got a pinky chopped off. It's okay. I mean, I guess adequate is the word. You know, brown's not one of my favorite colors. I prefer red. Could you tell them to make more red food?
I'll try, but she really likes to make brown.
Cut back to the Smith's house.
What?
His complaint?
I don't know.
He wants this thing directly into the pipe.
I know, and he wants red. Can you make red?
Well, there's only certain things that flow through the pipe correctly. I'm mostly going with gravies and stews. What kind? What's red? Like
tomatoes?
A chili?
I don't know.
Some spaghetti sauce?
Yeah.
It's something solid. Get something solid.
We're hurting.
It's a pipe.
Bad over
it's
here.
A pipeline.
What
it's
is
got
a red
flow,
solid thing
that
I can put? I need a red solid thing to put in my mouth. This is too much.
Could y'all at least angle the pipe so it's like coming downhill from the house? Like right now, it's going straight, and we're having to work really hard to push it through.
We did not
sign up for this.
We need some more. Yeah, it needs to be higher up, maybe just to.
That's
to
why it's all down. Liquid. It's just easier to get through.
It just needs to be red.
I'm doing the best I can to supply the people who come to the dump for dinner with healthy alternatives. And I guess I'll just go red.
Yeah.
We cut back to the wastewater treatment center. Larry.
Yeah?
Now, you know me, Mr. Showalter.
He's very eccentric.
Some people say that. The number one thing I said when I took over this wastewater treatment center was, you know, I want this to be a family place. I want this to be the type of place where people bring their kids, you know? You remember, I said, I want this to be just like Disney World, but more wastewater.
Yep, we're still working on the water, but...
Okay, well, but I'm just thinking, so we got the food thing pretty solidly handled by now.
Yeah.
Pretty solidly.
Yeah, I think so.
But we need more attractions. We need... People aren't just going to come for food.
Like, what are you thinking?
Waste not, want not. I think we need to find a way to take our pre-existing wastewater equipment, but turn it into, I don't know, like a ride or something.
Oh.
Like, you ever been on Space Mountain? Now, that's a great example.
I've never been to space.
Oh, well, no. It's a place in Disney. It's not really space. It's a roller coaster. They just turn the lights off, which would be perfect. You know, we can just let people ride the wastewater equipment. The stuff that turns the wastewater into, I don't know, regular water. I haven't looked into how this place works.
That's okay.
Just turn the lights off.
You made all your money in philanthropy. So, I mean, this is a new venture. I know.
So just, you know, just turn the lights off.
Okay.
And let people ride the equipment.
We go back to the Smith house. Mom, Dad, why are so many people standing in a line outside of our house?
Because the pipe. They want to ride the pipe. They want to ride the pipe all the way to the wastewater landfill.
Hey, are y'all taking the tickets? We're getting a lot of people down there that didn't pay.
The lights are out. I can't see anything.
You charge for this? How much is it?
It's $30 a ride.
$30 to ride the pipe?
Yeah.
With all the tomatoes and the soups?
Oh, that's what makes it slick.
No, the gravy makes it slick. I swear to God it does.
Well, that's probably fair, too. But, yeah, you got to start taking tickets. I mean, they're going to start charging you if you're not taking tickets. Like, everybody that comes down who didn't pay, they're going to back charge you.
We cut back to the wastewater treatment center. Larry.
Yeah, boss.
Someday we're going to hire some more people. But, Larry, you know what occurs to me? We have these long lines wanting to ride the, what is it we call that ride again?
Oh, the spaghetti sloop.
Spaghetti sloop. That's right. All that red spaghetti sauce.
Yep.
That's right. It's coming back to me now. But you know what occurs to me? Waste not, want not. You know, all these people are waiting in line for a long time. What if we started renting out places for them to stay overnight at the, what's that place called where the pipe begins?
Oh, Teresa's house.
That's right. That's right. The private residence. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So what if we just rented out places for them to stay while they're waiting to ride the spaghetti sloop?
It could be complimentary.
I mean,
you're a philanthropist.
That's my vast fortune.
Cut back to...
I hate philanthropy. Apparently he's giving away our stuff.
Teresa,
he's giving away
fine.
My kitchen, all my tomatoes, and now our house.
I mean, you're busy taking tickets anyway. You don't have time to sleep. It's okay.
Well, it's not what not, I suppose.
I don't know how to say no. I feel like I've started on the slippery slope, and it's and everything I've said yes to, I don't know how to say
no. Spaghetti slope, all right? Keep it on brand. That's the Showalter way. We're just going to scrap this entire recording session, right? Everything. Just. I mean, look, I'm all for waste not whatnot to an extent.
And the husband apparently left it.
He did. Well, I couldn't remember their last name. So he had enough. Yeah,
she stopped feeding him, so he went away.
And I think you started as Tony.
I couldn't. Oh. I knew you gave me a name, but I couldn't remember what the hell it was.
Yeah. Oh, oops. I think you started as Tony.
So I was like, and then became David.
Larry. Yeah.
You were Larry.
I was Larry.
I think it was Larry and Teresa Smith.
Yeah, it was Larry and Teresa.
And then you named me Larry. So I was like,
wait. How about? Okay, I'm
just trying to cover. You're like, well, I thought we were going to use my real name. Okay.
So I'll just do an edit right now. I'll just in the different voices. Okay, so first the real Larry, Tony. All right, now is Mr. Showalter, Tony. There, just everything brown.
Well, the same as Showalter's charity.
That's the name of his.
Yeah.
And custard.
I've made so much money from everything brown. Everything brown, wastewater, whatnot.
Weren't we at a dump?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Sorry. I told you I wasn't on my game today. I messed up everything.
So I was like, yeah, we still need to get the water.
I took you from Tony to Larry, from a dump to a wastewater. Wow. Was that usable? Did I make it unusable? Did I go against the Showalter way?
Well, you are an eccentric.
I didn't want to, but I wasted. East Barnett free-range pig racks up $933.98 in damages.
Whoa.
By Amy Ash Nixon. A pig named Sue, which is a great Johnny Cash song, by the way. I'm going to start the sentence over because where it goes is amazing. A pig named Sue, short for Chop Suey, whose
that
owner...
is so cruel.
I'm going to call you Hawk. Whose owner admittedly lets go loose on his Route 5 property in East Barnett, is continuing to act up. Complained neighbors to the town's select board last week. First Constable Steve Mosher sat at the table with the board on Monday, September 9th, and began, "I am getting tired of getting phone calls in the wee hours of the morning about a pig wandering around the Burnells." He said he was also seeing people on the village community page bitching about a pig on Route 5, unquote.
Now this is small town news.
It needs to stop, declared Mosher. This problem is not just recently. This problem has been going on for quite a while. And whoever owns the pig, we don't know who owns the pig, is not giving a rat's backside about anybody but himself.
But wait, hold. What could the pig be doing?
He should have animals under control in a pen where it belongs.
Just the sight of a pig wandering upsets people?
It's acting up.
Right.
He said so himself. The pig is acting up. It's jerking around all around East Barnett.
He's trying to cross from one end of the county to the other before the other pigs.
Select Board Chair Dylan Ford said, "There are certain things that we have to follow. We have taken certain steps and certain letters haven't been acknowledged." So Dylan Ford knows who owns the pig because he sent letters.
Apparently he's not telling the other people.
He sent it to everyone in town.
But we're finding out in the next sentence. The pig is owned by Billy Nose.
Son of a bitch.
That's some
fuck you, Dad.
What the fuck are you gonna do, Billy Gnomes?
The Vermont State Police have been contacted and can't deal with a pig on the loose, officials discussed. The state game warden has also been contacted, and he told the Burnells he didn't want to give advice, quote, one way or another about shooting of the pig. He did say he was going to go down and talk to Billy, unquote. The Brunel's timeline of the pig problems states, officials and citizens at the meeting talked about their rights as far as capturing Sue and having her butchered, deducting the cost for damages they say she's done to their property, and giving Knowles, the owner, the difference.
In pig parts or cash?
Whatever's left.
So one of my favorite songs is a Ray Stevens song called Kiss a Pig. Kiss a pig, hug a swine, some of them are good friends of mine. It's just, he was my buddy and he was my friend. He was my breakfast every now and then. At the recent meeting, neighbors Sarah and Chris Burnell submitted photos of damage that the pig has allegedly wrecked on their property, from damaging a pool to knocking over a smoker, getting into pet food, their cooker, and more. All told, the couple said Sue has cost them $933.98.
Cut to Billy's house.
Yep.
Billy.
Yep.
You know I'm here. It's about your pig. And I hate having to keep coming out here, Billy. You know, I'd, as sheriff of this county, I've got lots of other things I'd rather be doing.
I understand.
Do you know where Sue is?
I don't. She's been on a drinking binge again.
See, that's the problem.
She's 21. What am I supposed to do? She's legal.
Oh, come on. It ain't about her age. It's about her. It's about a fence you won't repair.
If Clem would stop serving her down at the bar,
Billy,
we would be fine.
Billy.
She was good up until then.
You going to blame him for over-serving?
Yep. That's what
you
get with absolutely. A pig? Absolutely.
And how much is too much for a pig, Billy?
Well, I do not have a pig breathalyzer.
Do you
but
know?
That is not my fault.
Do you know what Sue did on this last binge?
I'm sure it wasn't good or you wouldn't be here.
She went back to your neighbor's pool.
She does like a pool.
She did another $1,000 worth of damage just to the pool. Do you know what that means for a pig to do damage to a pool?
If they would put a proper set of steps up to get into that pool, she wouldn't do nearly as much damage. I'm just saying.
All right, Billy, if you're not willing to take responsibility, I guess that's what we got to do. Boys, we're going on a pig hunt.
Woo-hoo! Let's go get him, Sheriff.
Billy, I can't be responsible for these two deputies after the I said pig hunt. You can see they're dressed for it.
Well, I'm going to grab that pig, and I'm gonna wrestle that son of a female dog right to the ground.
Right
and
to the ground, Billy.
I'm going to watch.
She knows a little bit of karate, so I would be careful. I had her in classes when she was younger.
Yo, so you admit that you taught that pig karate?
Yeah.
Do you realize the dangers you have put forth in this county teaching a pig karate and
boys,
then letting it cut loose?
To be fair, he named her Chop Suey. But that's a Chinese name.
But that roundhouse has been kicking open gates all over town.
It's a perfect storm.
The Shire ain't never seen good like this.
Billy, I'm telling you, these boys are about to be let loose. Are you okay with it? You're not going to make the recompense?
Y'all be careful. It's not mine. She's an adult. I don't know why you're coming to me.
Cut to that evening. The deputies are on the hunt.
We going to get that pig. We're going to get Sue. We're going to get her down.
I'm not going to lie, though. I'm pretty scared knowing it knows karate. I thought we were just dealing with a pig, not some ninja pig. That's not what I signed up for. I signed up for a pig hunt, not a ninja pig hunt.
Wait, oh, Terry, did you hear that?
I'm so scared. Like, I have nightmares. Sometimes I wake up in the darkness of my bedroom and I hear that sound. I don't like it.
Oh, God. Sue is laughing. You know what that means.
All I got are my bare hands. We don't got no weapons or nothing. What are we? Do you know karate? You can only fight karate with karate. Oh, my God, my
Cut
knees.
Cut back
come
to
from?
Billy's house with the sheriff. I told you, Sheriff.
Billy, I'm down one deputy.
I told you.
Now I got recompense for the deputy's family.
Well, you better get her and get her to square up.
You thought damage to a pool was bad. You should see damage to a deputy.
I'm telling you, she's an adult. I don't know why you keep coming to me.
She did $2,000 damage to that deputy.
Sheriff.
Yes.
Look in the backyard. Backyard, I just found this dictionary where the word recompense is being circled.
Circled in the...
Sue News was recompense being all alone.
That shows intent of forethought.
Well, I did have her in school up till middle school, and she didn't like it after that, so
Billy,
I had to pull her out.
You have created this pig that is smarter than most pigs, knows karate more than most pigs, and is definitely wandering and doing damage to deputies more than most pigs.
She is a heck of a shot, too, so I'd be careful there if she gets her hands on a weapon. She didn't. The deputy still had his gun, I hope.
Well, he doesn't anymore. We weren't able to locate the gun on the body of
it
the deputy.
It was awful. Awful. Suey came around with that round house and geeked him right in the holster.
And she laughed about it.
She'll do that.
She'll laugh?
She thinks everything's funny.
Have you ever heard a pig laugh in the middle of the night when you're trying to hunt it?
I've heard her laugh because we used to watch Seinfeld together. Man, she loves some Seinfeld. Anyway, yep.
We cut to a city council meeting. The situation has got completely out of control. A professional had to be brought in. So, gentlemen, you're looking for a pig hunter.
Yes. Are you sure you're right for the job?
It's a squirrely, squirrely pig.
Let me tell you, gents, I have stared into a pig's eyes many a time. You ever stared into the eyes of a pig?
Nope. Yep. She's a pretty one, too.
Now, Billy, you're here. Yep. Until you pay your recompense, you're not allowed to give a whole lot of thought here.
No. Sheriff, I need to know what I'm dealing with here. So from what I understand right now, we've got a pig here that knows karate.
Yep.
And, sorry, I'm getting out my notes here. Watches and enjoys Seinfeld.
Correct. Kramer's her favorite.
We don't falter for that. Seinfeld's a very funny show.
Kramer would be her favorite.
It is hilarious. And a pig that can fire a gun.
Yep, pistols and rifles. She never did like a shotgun.
To be fair, that rumor has not been substantiated. All we know so far is karate.
But you do have a dead deputy, don't you now, Sheriff?
Yes.
Without his pistol.
That's true. Or his kneecaps.
That was the most horrifying part of it, I gotta say.
Why would she take the kneecaps, Billy? The kneecaps!
Well, I don't know. She's probably drunk again. I told you to get Clem to quit serving her. He's always playing Seinfeld over there at the bar. He'll put the peanuts out.
Now I want to hear from the stranger in our midst who believes he has the solution. What was your name, sir?
My name is Gary. Gary Stranger.
Gary Stranger.
That's correct. Now, there's only one way you can stop a pig that drinks alcohol, shoots guns, knows karate, and watches Seinfeld. Am I leaving anything out?
Kneecaps.
She did make a necklace of kneecaps once. She may be doing it again.
Kneecap necklace.
No. We can use this in our favor, gentlemen. I, Gary Stranger, have seen this before. What we're going to do is, inside of one of your local taverns.
Yes.
Clem's.
Clem's is the local
tavern. I'm just saying, that's her favorite.
That's her only one. That's the best way. She goes to the best place.
She's destroyed all the other woods.
Okay.
$1,000 worth of damage.
I think Clem paid her for that. But anyway.
We are going to fashion one of the men's room bathroom stalls as a makeshift trap. Inside of that stall, someone's going to have to sacrifice their kneecaps.
Why is everybody looking at me?
That's
you swore an oath to protect this county.
I'm not going to lie. I just met you, but my eyes naturally first went to you, son. Someone's got to give their kneecaps as bait inside of this makeshift men's bathroom stall trap. And she will not be able to resist turning those kneecaps into a necklace.
You're going to have to put an out-of-order sign on the ladies' room because she does not like the men's room. I'm just saying.
What does this have to do with Seinfeld?
I was getting to that, Sheriff. I'm going to be staked out inside of the trash can of the men's bathroom where I will be making a series of scatting sounds like the in-between music of Seinfeld.
With like thumping a bass?
Like here, I'll give you an example. Ba-doo, doop, doop, ba-doo.
Wait, no, I think it's more like a...
Oh, Sheriff,
Sheriff, you are a natural. Sheriff, new plan.
What? No, I'm okay not being part of the
Sheriff,
kneecap.
Sheriff, you have a community to protect here. You, undisguised, are going to be in the corner of this men's bathroom doing that amazing Seinfeld scat. I will be hidden underneath the bathroom sink with my rifle.
Just to understand, I still need to be in the men's bathroom on my knees.
Okay, we cut to the men's bathroom at Clem's.
This is a very elaborate plan. Deputy.
I'm shaking in my boots and my knees.
Deputy, pull them shorts up a little higher so those kneecaps are on full display.
This is the wrong week to switch to short uniforms.
Gents, quiet. All right, let's hear some Seinfeld scatting. Go.
No, keep going, Chef. I think it might be the pig.
I want to be here.
Hey, guys, y'all catch her yet?
No.
Oh, sorry, did I mess it up?
We thought you were the pig.
Why don't you go grab your own problem with your pig? Why do we have to fix this problem for you? You won't even pay rent.
She's an adult. I don't know why you're coming to me. Anyway, I'll get out of here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mess it up.
I could scat again.
You got to hold it together, Sheriff. No one likes a sad Seinfeld scat.
Hold it together, Sheriff. We're going to get through this. Oh, that's wet.
I don't know where it goes.
I like that. Oh, that's wet.
We got to the town square. Thaddeus Showalter has showed up. I heard you had some kneecaps just lying around.
That story was great, though.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful small town story.
Yes.
Oh, that was an amazing story.
Bunch of small town news. Bunch of small town news. Bunch of small town news.
Yeah.
You've just tolerated another episode of Small Town News, a production of Small Town News, LLC.
Today's episode of Small Town News was inspired by the Caledonia Record of St. Johnsbury, Vermont, and stories written by Pat Josh, Amy Ash Nixon, and a lot of people who don't sign their work.
Episodes are performed and produced by Keith Boyd, George Oliver, Neil Oliver, and Craig Ramey.
Research by Dr. Jessica Saxon.
Music performed by George Oliver.
This episode was recorded in the historic Clark's Drugstore building in beautiful downtown New Bern, North Carolina.
Small Town News is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, Facebook Podcasts, and your Grammy's Gramophone. Like what you hear? Leave us a review and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram for behind-the-scenes photos, exclusive updates, and opportunities to share your favorite Small Town News.
Thanks for joining us.
And remember,
Mrs. Winslow's
soothing syrup. 'Cause it's like one of those, like you see it from a distance and it looks like a picture of General Slocum on a horse, but you get closer up and you see that it's made of bugs.
Smushed up bugs.
Yeah, I think so. Like stuck together.
It should be more like, was it Monet? I can't remember who it was that did the Walk in the Park painting, the pointillism.
Yes.
Where you just get different colored bugs and glue them onto the painting.
And from a distance it looks then, like.
Yeah. Man, that would suck to make.
But that will be hard.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to do this to find the right.
It's hard enough to do pointillism.
Art is hard.
Doing a painting is hard to start with.
No, but isn't it harder if you've got to just find the right moth and beetle, like with the right sheen on its shell or moth whatever, as opposed to just paint? But you think he just like, there are other famous people that use paint, so he just thought, I'm going to do something different. So
you got to get your name out there somehow.
Yeah, just pick a medium no one else is using because it's so hard.
I think that is the entire struggle of artists in general.
Just to be different?
Yes. Yeah. Whether they're consciously trying to be different or not, if they're trying to tap into something new, they find themselves sticking bugs to a wall.
I mean, there's no other reason to say, I'm going to do this painting of General Slocum with bugs other than to do something different, right? Because it would just make it so much harder. Instead of just going to work with paint and paintbrush.
Unless you really suck at painting, but really want to do that.
Right. So maybe
it's like, I'm no good at painting, I'm pretty good with bugs.
But if you're the best bug guy, it doesn't have to look great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like exactly. If you're a painter, you got to be as good as the other painters. But if you're the only bug guy, hey, look at that. That's General Slocum.
Well, I mean,
nobody's going to argue with you.
You're in an art.
Except General Slocum. That's not me.
He's dead.
I mean, think about it this way. Let's say you're walking through an art museum, you're seeing the art. I haven't gone to a lot of art museums and galleries, but, you know, I'll walk by, I'll look at it, and then I move on. But I look at a thing, and then someone says to me, hey.
That's made of bugs.
That's made of bugs. That's going to make me take a second look and go, what?
You take a picture of it, probably.
do that to somebody camera. On the M&M aisle next day, the candy aisle. That's made of bugs.
There's your point.
It changes your perspective.
There's your pointillism.
Yeah.
Make a painting entirely. Oh, but there's no different shades of
color. Oh, sure. Oh,
it just depends on how long you put them in your mouth. Because the color comes off some,
it
right?
Does, yeah. It does.
I guarantee somebody has made a mosaic out of M&M's.
Oh, I'm sure Eminem has 100%. Paid someone yeah. to do
Eminem
that.
Eminem has done it?
Yeah.
You mean the rapper?
No, probably that, too. Yeah.
But what other example? Can you think of like other weird mediums? I mean, I've never heard of people using bugs to make art.
I bet they exist. They're so unusual. I hadn't thought of it or seen it.
Yeah. Remember that banana that was popular a couple of years
ago? Yes. It was just a rotten banana stuck to a wall.
Yep.
But it wasn't like he took a bunch of different fruits or a bunch of different sized bananas and made General Slocum.
And those shades and colors would constantly
just
be
one
changing.
Part.
Right.
Just one part of General Slocum.
That's General Slocum's family fruits.
You can say banana.
You're not going to bleep out if I say banana, are you?
I don't know. It's the fruit of his looms.
Wait, so what's the third fruit of the loom? No. It's banana and grapes. What's the
other one? Grapes.
Is there apples? Peaches.
Mm, I'm sure someone out there has a pear.
Watermelons.
Mm.
Taco fruit.